Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is the Financial Flight Plan. Walter Storholt here with you alongside Bree Reyes of Estes Financial Services. She's a certified financial planner and an investor coach here in the Metroplex to help you better prepare for your financial future. And that's what this show is all about, making sure you're on the right track to reach your financial destination and beyond. And today we're talking about the glory days. You know, it can be fun to reflect on the glory days of our lives, or as Bree was doing before we started the show today, singing along to the Bruce Springsteen song. Feel free to continue that if you'd like, Bree.
Oh, I will just keep that
for
myself.
Okay, we'll keep that one in the background. That's fine. We'll leave that for off-air conversation. Now, it's no different when we're talking about glory days when we then turn the page to talking about finances. You know, retirement planning, it used to be, Bree, a lot easier than it is now. And, you know, and that's not to be like one of these, you know, back in the day we used to walk 15 miles to school uphill both ways in the snow kind of thing. It truly was easier in the past and is more difficult now. We'll give you the evidence and the reasons why. One of them, Bree, very obvious. Many, many, many more people in the past had pensions that basically took care of their retirement planning for them. Nowadays, fewer people have pensions. That adds to the complication of preparing for retirement.
Exactly, Walter. And a lot of my contemporaries don't even know what a pension is. I have to kind of explain it to them. We have some clients that do have pensions. A lot of our federal employee clients have a pension through the federal system. And so we're very familiar with that. And then the railroad retirement for our railroad clients. Mm-hmm. But for a good majority of just the average American worker, what's a pension?
Yeah, you bring up a great point because my wife has a pension to go along with her 403B and whatnot from the hospital, but I don't think she even knows what it is.
Well, and teachers have them. I mean, so there are a lot of professions that still, yeah, I guess, keep them, or a few. But for the most part, if you're just out in the American workforce, you don't have a pension anymore. So you can't expect that check coming from your former employer every month, like my grandparents used to be able to, that generation.
And so that's why we bring this up, for why it used to be easier, because this was like, you know, if we rewind 30 years ago, 40 years ago, a pension was like Social Security, but even stronger, even better, you know, covered all your needs, and it's a check for the rest of your life. And now that people don't have those, if you haven't been saving in other ways, well, you can see the complication arise.
Exactly. And a lot of people can't figure out, okay, I've saved this bucket of money in my qualified 401k or my qualified retirement plan. I don't have a pension, so no one's going to just magically send me a check every month to cover all of my living expenses. How do I do that?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Not only was the saving portion of the equation taken care of you for you with a pension, but also then the distribution of that money was already built into that equation, into that product. And now we kind of have to create all of these things on our own, and a lot of people don't know where to begin. So a good example there of how the glory days used to be a little bit easier in terms of retirement and financial planning. Something else that has made things a lot more complicated, Bree, longer life expectancies. If we're living longer, that means we've got to make the money that we've saved last a lot longer, yet we're not retiring really that much later than we used to. So instead of planning for a 10-year retirement, what, now 20, 30, 40 years?
Easily 20 and 30 years, maybe 40. For those of us that are lucky, and we have, thanks to modern medicine, we have quite a bit longer life expectancies. Now, maybe not healthier life expectancies, but certainly longer life expectancies. And in cases of dementia, the type of Alzheimer's, your mind might not be here anymore, but your body can be incredibly healthy. Mm. And you've got to plan for that.
Yeah. So not only, especially if people are more healthy these days, then that's going to lead to spending a lot more money in retirement for a longer period of time. So it's not like, all right, well, yeah, we might be living for 30 years, but only five of that's going to be active, and then we're going to be on the porch. No, my grandparents are in their 80s, and they still travel across the country every year and just took a trip to Antarctica and do all sorts of stuff like that. So it's still going to be an expensive retirement for you for many, many years.
Well, I don't know who wants to cut 5 to 10% of their bills in retirement. You know, if you plan on living on only 90% of your current income or the income that you had right before you retired, what 10% of your expenses are you cutting?
That's a good point. And that's what I think a lot of people, you know, this isn't a podcast about the myths of the financial world, but that is probably one of them. A lot of people have kind of subscribed to this old saying of, well, yeah, you're only going to need about 80% or 85% of your income in retirement. Not necessarily the case these days.
Not at all.
Yeah.
People have dreamed about their retirement or thought about it for a while, and they have all these plans, and they want to go on these great and amazing trips and all that. Well, that costs money.
Yeah.
And if you haven't planned for it right, that's where you can get in trouble.
Now, it's not all fun and games, Bree. Something else that used to be different in the glory days that's changed now are the family dynamics. And now we have what's called this sandwich generation taking place, where retirees or folks approaching retirement are now bringing their parents in, taking care of their parents, while also still having the kids on the payroll in some way, shape, or form, whether that means in college or even post-college, still paying for children and that kind of thing. That's a lot of burden on a couple or even a single person's shoulders to be supporting other people in that sandwich generation.
Oh, it's a huge burden, not only financially, but emotionally as well. So if you are approaching retirement and you still have your younger child potentially on, I don't know, your health insurance, or you're helping them out with their cell phone bills, or you're helping them out with their rent. That's one I've seen several times. And then you have your parents who maybe have dementia and need a place, and they've got long-term care, but it doesn't cover the full amount. So you're writing a check for $1,000 there per month. And so you've got $1,000 going out to your parents' long-term care facility a month and $1,000 going to your kid. And then you're trying to just live, your budget can add up quite a bit.
Yeah, it just really changes, I think, the situation and the dynamic. But you bring up the other important side of that, and that's the emotional issues that are brought up with that. And we won't go down that rabbit hole today, but it's an important thing to recognize, at least, in addition to the financial differences, how emotionally we might feel being in that situation of retirement might impact our decisions and that kind of thing going forward. We also have to think about, if we're talking about the glory days, Bree, the higher healthcare costs that we're facing these days, and it's much higher than just saying, all right, well, inflation's naturally going to make healthcare more expensive. No. We far outpaced inflation when it comes to healthcare costs.
Oh, it's crazy how much healthcare costs can be in this country. Even with Medicare, we had actually, I'll pull an example from my own family. Julie, Tim's wife, my mother, had to get LASIK. She had some eye issues. And even with Medicare and an excellent supplement, she still had to pay out of pocket to get the lenses that she wanted. Now, the basic lenses were covered, but it was her vision. She didn't want any more halos. She wanted to be able to drive at night. The basic lenses weren't going to give her the quality of life she wanted. And so, of course, she had to go into her own pocket and pay for it. We're seeing retirees expect to expend approximately $250,000 out of their own pocket for additional healthcare costs on top of what they're paying for Medicare.
That's
and a supplement.
Huge. Say that figure again. How much?
Approximately over $250,000 over the course of their retirement.
It's a lot of money. It's a whole lot of money. Even if someone has a million or more, say, for retirement, that's still a big chunk of those dollars going to healthcare.
Now, granted, it doesn't happen all at once, but yet, no, it's incredibly expensive, and nobody's planning for this.
It piles on. No, what do you mean nobody's planning for this? People are overlooking that in when they come in to meet with you? I mean, no one's got this addressed in their financial plans?
Very few that come in to meet with us initially do. No, nobody wants to think about how expensive healthcare costs are. And we see it on TV. We see the price of pills being raised for different things. Heck, EpiPens.
That was in the news very, very prominently not too long ago.
Exactly. And even with really, really, really good insurance that we have here, I have to carry one. I went and paid a couple $100 for two EpiPens. By the way, they last 1 year.
Oh, only 1 year.
So that's a couple $100 every year. just as my copay for my EpiPen.
Wow. That's just that's one great example of higher healthcare costs. And this all kind of rolls in, I think, Bree, to that longer life expectancy thing. You know, we not only have the higher healthcare costs, but we're going to be living longer. We're going to have healthcare costs popping up throughout our retirement, most likely. And so we're going to have to deal with this for just as we're going to be living for 20, 30 years in retirement instead of 5 to 10. Now we're going to have healthcare costs for 10, 20, 30 years and beyond in retirement too. So it just kind of compounds on itself. And I think that tells me, I don't think there's any end in sight in terms of longer life expectancies. Those are going to continue to increase. And therefore, the healthcare costs, I think, are just going to be continue to rise. Those two themes seem very linked to me. But I could be wrong there.
No, very they are. They're very, very linked. And this is one of the things that frightens Tim and I both when we talk to people is the rising cost of healthcare.
We're not trying to scare you on our conversation today here on the financial flight plan, but it is a stark contrast when we look at the glory days of financial planning and how things are a little bit more difficult to navigate in today's world. It doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means it's a little bit more difficult. And that's clear with Social Security as well. And this is an obvious, you know, there's more coming out than what's going in, Bree. There's more takers than contributors to Social Security, and that's going to cause some political conversations and issues as it has in the past years. And, you know, we don't know what exactly is going to happen to Social Security, but probably a good bet that it's going to be changing and shifting and morphing over the next many years.
I don't want to open a political can of worms here, but when I look at what my Social Security is going to be versus what I look at Tim's Social Security, I believe what I'm going to see is very, very different if I see Social Security at all, which is a shame because I've been paying into Social Security since I was like 15. I looked at my statement the other day.
Oh, wow.
But for our younger clients, I'm not really even factoring that in because I don't think it's going to look anything like what we currently see in Social Security. I think definitely it's going to potentially be needs-based, possibly. How much do you need versus, you know, looking at how much you've saved? And if you've saved quite a bit, maybe you don't receive all 100% of your benefits. Maybe you receive 80% of your benefits. I think that the full retirement aids are just going to be pushed out again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's going to be just some of the tweaks that we're seeing. You've actually got me beat by a year. I've been paying into Social Security since 16, so you've got me beat by a year if your statements go back to the 15 years old. So congratulations on that front.
Well, thank you, but I'd like my money.
Well, you may not get it, or it may just be in a different form. How about that?
Yeah,
exactly. That's a political answer for you. We'll find another way to make that up to you. How about that?
No, oh, that'd be great.
Last but not least, the conversation should turn to interest rates. And interest rates used to be a lot different many years ago, and they may return there someday. Who knows? But the fact is, today's retiree, or even if you're preparing to retire in the next couple of years, you're facing an interest rate environment that is just astronomically lower than what previous generations were able to take advantage of as retirees and savers.
When I started my career, I had a client come in with, I can't remember if it was a CD or a bond. It's been over a decade or a bit now, but it was paying like 10%.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, just some outrageous number and comparable to today's dollars. And I can't remember the duration either. But just seeing that, just kind of now I think back and I kind of chuckle on it because interest rates are completely different than what they used to be. Coupons and savings bonds and everything's just paying a completely different number. And you can't really ladder those type of investments for retirement anymore like you used to be able to.
It's great for the young guns who can view that as, you know, good borrowing times at these low levels. But if you're a retiree and you're wanting to, you know, live off your savings the rest of your life, for savers, it's not a very good environment to be in for you. And so that's why that creates a lot of problems. So with all that being said, Bree, to kind of put a cap on our podcast and our conversation today about the glory days of retirement planning, we brought up six major problems, six major differences. How do you and the team at Estes Financial sort through these things and keep this from being kind of an overwhelming thing when I come into the office and have a conversation about retirement? What's the conversation look like? What's the process to, even though it's harder these days, to still accomplish a successful retirement?
Well, it's as fun as financial services can be, which I quite frankly think it's great, but that's me personally. It's a fun conversation that we have about your vision and your goals and how all these things play in. I love this type of thing for, because to me, it's a puzzle. It's looking at all of these, what some people may see as challenges. I prefer to look at them as opportunities and see how they can all work together to get you the abundant life you want.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. We say it all the time here on the Financial Flight Plan. We want to give you the tools, the strategies, and the ability, and I think you said it well there, Bree, the opportunity to lead an abundant life. And if you need assistance with your financial plan, pulling all of these pieces of the puzzle together, making sure that you're not basing your plan on, you know, how things used to be back in the glory days of retirement, if you want to plan in today's world, Tim Estes, Bree Reyes, and the team at Estes Financial Services can help with that. Here in the Metroplex, you can reach them at 817-444-8402. Again, that's 817-444-8402. They have an office in Fort Worth, and you can find them online as well at estesfinancial.net. Look them up on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All great opportunities to connect in those different resources. Again, just call 817-444-8402 or find them online at estesfinancial.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And be sure to tune in for our next edition when we talk about couch potato dollars, money that's sitting around being lazy, being a couch potato. Well, we'll tell you how you can tell that money to get off the couch and get back to work and make money for you. So we'll talk about why couch potato dollars are so dangerous to have lying around and what you can do about it on the next podcast. Hope you come back and join us for that one. For Bree Reyes, I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you lead an abundant life. And thanks for listening to the Financial Flight Plan.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.